Good morning, everyone. Ron, could you turn me down just a tiny little bit? You know, in lieu of John's confession of messing up the slides, my response was, God's worked with our mistakes before, so I'm sure we'll be just fine. You know, God's word doesn't go out void. So what is meant to be spoken today and heard and received by us will. So I want to welcome everybody to Frederick Church of Christ worship today. Welcome everyone on Zoom and everyone joining with us in the building. It's really, really good to be together this morning. It's a beautiful day to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning together as a family. The one who forgives us, who redeems us, who heals us, who promises eternal life. Amen. Amen. And we get to worship as a family. And today I have some of my family here. My mom and dad are here, Larry and Diane. It's worthy of a clap. They're definitely worthy of applause. You got to keep a little bit of perspective here. You guys have only had to deal with me for about 2 years. They've had to deal with me my whole life. So they're definitely, what'd you say, mom? Come on now. She said, oh yeah. It's awesome to be together. I appreciate each one of you. Today we're going to be taking a look, if you want to be turning in your Bibles, to chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes. So we're nearing the end of our study here in Ecclesiastes, and the title of today's sermon is Living with Purpose. You know, up to this point in the book, so I think it's a helpful way to sort of frame the book and be thinking about the book of Ecclesiastes as a sort of a journal where Solomon is teaching us about life and the things he observes and the experiment that he's running. You know, being the powerful, prosperous king that Solomon is, he had everything at his disposal. He had money at his disposal, influence, wealth, all these things at his disposal. And so throughout the book, he's talking about his experiences searching for meaning in life. And he's using all these resources, all these things that are at his disposal. And he's coming up with vanity, meaninglessness. Everything's temporary. It doesn't really mean anything in light of this short life that we live. And now towards the end of the book, it seems as Solomon's a much older man, a much wiser man. And now he's starting to give us some proverbs here about some things about purposeful and intentful living, about living with purpose. And so as we take a look at this scripture today, we'll be talking about what it means to be living with purpose. So would you follow with me? Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you may receive a return. Invest in 7 ventures. Yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all, but let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So then banish anxiety from your heart and cast off troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. And we'll read to verse 1 of chapter 12. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. As we come into a time of worship, let us do exactly what Solomon says here. Let us remember our Creator. Let us remember all the things that He's done for us, the salvation that He's given us, the freedom from the bondage of sin that He offers each one of us, the salvation, the eternal life. Let's remember His goodness, His faithfulness, as we come into a time of worship together as a family. Will you pray with me, please? Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity to get together this morning, together as a family, as a body of believers, Lord, with Your Son at the head. Father, we pray that as we worship You in spirit and in truth, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would dwell here fully, Lord, that we would hear from You, that we would be expectant that Your word will fulfill its purpose today. Lord, may our songs, may our speech, may the things that we edify and build up one another be pleasing to You on this day, on this morning, Lord. Allow us to be edified, filled, and be enriched by this service, this time of worship. Lord, we pray that all the things that we do here today please You and are for Your glory, for Your honor, and for our joy coming together as a family to worship Him who has saved and redeemed us. We thank You for Your Son. We thank You for His sacrifice. May our worship please You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a great song to intro a sermon to. In 1964, Merv Griffin okay. This is already funny, huh? Yeah. In 1964, Merv Griffin created a TV game show called What's the Question? It was originally hosted by Art Fleming. Now, you probably don't know that game show, but you probably do know in 1984, the host who took over is Alex Trebek. So the name of the game show is Jeopardy. There was a note that Merv Griffin, with his so original title, What's the Question?, was telling the producers, and the producer said to him, there's not enough Jeopardies in the game. And so he went, oh, that's it. Jeopardy's the name of the game show. I always love when I'm giving these like random things and you're already wondering, how does this connect with living with purpose? Here's a few fun facts, though, before we get there. Before his Alex Trebek led this show up until his death last year in 2020. And here's a fun fact about what Alex did is every day when he was filming, he changed suits five times a day. Another fun fact about Jeopardy is the most consecutive wins is 74. And that grossed about $2.5 million, which is the most ever won by a single contestant on any game show ever. Another fun fact about Jeopardy is that it holds the most awards than any other game show ever. Now, again, you might be wondering, why is he talking about Jeopardy? And here's why. I like to do this every once in a while, and I read this passage out loud earlier this week to Joanna, and I said, what's your take on it? You know, keep in mind that we're talking about shipping your grain across the sea. If a tree lies, falls to the north or south, there it lies. All these things. I read it to her, and she said, it just sounds like a riddle. That was her impression. It just sounds like a riddle to me. And so it just connected in my brain. What has always sounded like a riddle to me? And for whatever reason, even when I was a kid, up to this day, whenever I'm watching Jeopardy, which I'll admit I've never watched one full episode start to end because I can't take it. Because every time I watch it, they give these answers and my brain just malfunctions. I have no idea what the question is. And my thinking, I go, okay, well, what's the point? You already gave me the answer. What do I need to come up with the question for? We're already there. So what do I even need to be coming up with questions for? But it made me think this is kind of a helpful way of thinking about this passage because it seemingly appears, like Joanna said, that we've got all these proverbs, all these answers that Solomon has given us. And so we got to figure out What's the question? What is he trying to answer? And I think as we look through this passage, we can develop a framework for it, and we can figure out that what Solomon is trying to get at is a purpose-filled life. You know, what are these things that he's saying? What is the point of all these things? What are they gearing towards? What are they driving at? And I think that he's been really leading towards this question the entire book. You know, Solomon's been asking these questions. What is the purpose of life? What can I find fulfillment in? You know, he does this large experiment where he's using his resources to find purpose, to find fulfillment, you know, in wealth and accumulating things and in doing things and conquering things, all these sort of things. He's trying to fill himself and find purpose in everything in the world. And he's coming to a point of the book where he's older and he's wiser and he's realizing where you find purpose in life. And so he's asking these things. And I think one of the first things that he's trying to tell us is we find purpose in our giving. Now, I wrote up here, give of yourself generously. If we take a look at our first few verses here in chapter 11, Solomon writes, ship your grain across the sea, or your version may say, cast your bread upon the waters. After many days, you may receive a return. Invest in seven ventures, yes, in eight. Yes, in eight. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. Now, that's a weird saying. It's cast your bread upon the waters. Nick did an awesome job leading Sunday night. I wasn't able to participate, but he recorded it for me. And Tom was noted on there as saying, cast your bread upon the waters makes me think of feeding ducks. And I thought, you know, that really just gets at the heart of this phrase here is an ancient idiom. You know, it's an ancient saying in those days. It would make sense what this is. Similar to us, where if we were to say something like break a leg, you know, at any other time period of the world, if somebody reads break a leg, they're going, what's wrong with these people? But if I were to say that to you, you know what that means. Just like cast your bread upon the waters, invest in seven, maybe eight ventures. Maybe this is ancient financial advice for merchants, you know, but at the heart of what's being said here is give of yourself generously. Be giving. And it's saying give generously. This is this cast your bread upon the waters, cast your livelihood. This is something that takes a lot of faith to do. It takes faith to give of yourself generously. Verse 3 says this: if you're full of water, if clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. And this is part of the thing that kind of threw Joanna and myself too. It's like, okay, it sounds like you're asking some sort of riddle here, but not really. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. That's their purpose. Whatever the cloud is full of, its purpose is to dispose of that. In the same way, time, money, talents, spiritual gifts, the resources and the things that God has filled us with, our purpose is to pour out those things. That's the same thing that he said. He's just using this ancient phrase to say this. He's taking a piece from nature and saying, this is how we're supposed to give. If we're full of time, give of your time. If God's blessed you financially, use those things to bless his kingdom. If God's given you wisdom, use that wisdom to bless others, to advance his kingdom. If he's given you some sort of spiritual gift, whether it's singing or preaching or teaching or being an encourager, maybe you're what God's filled you up with is you are just an encouraging person. And we all know people like that. We got people here. You meet them. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? Man, I heard about this. I've been praying for you. How you doing? How's that situation? Feel that. Let that pour out of you. God's filled you with this. He's filled you with this encouraging gift. So use it. Whatever time, talent, resource, whatever it is that God has given you, you're to pour that out. Because that's the purpose of it. Just like the cloud's purpose that's full of water, it's obvious the purpose there is to pour it out. It's obvious if God's gifted you with some sort of resource, some sort of spiritual gift, it would be obvious to pour that out. That's what he's saying. Give generously of yourself. That's how you find purpose in your life. That is one way Solomon is wise and advanced in his years. And he's saying, this is where I see purpose. When someone is full of whatever God's given them and they pour this out generously for others, that's where they find purpose. The second part of verse 3 says this. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. I got it. Just a little disclosure here. I read this and I went, well, okay, of course, duh. All right. If it falls to the south, there it is. Good. All right. I'm good with that. All right. Not hurting me, not hurting my feelings. But what he's getting at here is just another example. You know, invest in the people around you. If your gift falls to the south, there it is. Okay, if God's put people in your life here, use your gifts here. You know, we don't have to go running around figuring out where the tree fell. Okay, God gave us people in our lives right here, right now, that have fallen upon in our influence to give generously to. Whether that's here or over there, that's where they are. They're right here. They're right here. Okay, we've got family here. We've got community. We've got people in our work, people in our other places of worship, other things that we volunteer for. God's given us a place where people have fallen. This is where the seed falls. This is where our generosity falls. This, whether it's time, talent, energy, spiritual gifts, whatever it is, he's saying this is the place where it falls. Whether it's to the south or to the north, it's where it is, where God gave you, wherever that is. And we all have this place of influence where God tells us to give generously to. No matter where it is, it's right where God's put it. And he's put people in our influence. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says this about giving. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessings will be blessed, and one who waters will himself be watered. You know, giving generously of yourself is really antithetical of the way we're told to live our lives. You know, we're told to amass things for ourselves. We're told to hoard things to ourselves. We're told to build ourselves up, our wealth up, our bank accounts up, our houses up, our whatever it is. Look out for yourself. And Solomon's talked about that the whole book. You know, I've done all those things is what Solomon says. And it all is vanity. All of those things are meaningless. And you've experienced that too, I'm sure. A time where you've built things up just for yourself, just to realize this really doesn't mean anything. I put all this time, all this effort in this thing that's only temporary. And it really doesn't mean anything in my life. But this proverb is saying, but the one who gives freely, God's going to bless that. And maybe that's financial. I don't think that's what's specifically promised here. But I think more what God is getting at is when we give of ourselves freely, we reap blessings and joy. It's the blessing of giving. If you were to think of one of the best examples of joy you've ever had in your life, and guys in recovery, we hear this all the time, it's when you've given to somebody else, when you've been able to pass it on to another person and see them get it. When you've been able to share your faith with somebody and see them get it. Start to see them experience joy in a very difficult time. Those are some of the best moments in life when we give generously of ourselves, and God in his grace allows us to see the benefit of that in that other person's life, in that marriage. Maybe we're giving up what God, the talent that God's given us is he's used our abilities to help bless other people's marriages. But when you give freely of that talent and you get to see a benefit from that, that's one of the best joys you'll ever feel in your entire life. Is when you give of this freely and get to see a reward in someone else's life. So that's the encouragement here. This is how we find purpose. This is one of the ways. Whatever God's filled you up with, give it freely. Let God use it. It's really not yours anyway. It's really not mine anyway. We're all just stewards of what God gives us. But if we want to find joy and purpose in those things, we give generously. Our time, our money, our talents, our spiritual gifts. That's how we find purpose. The second thing that Solomon is telling us here, and we'll take a look at verse 4, is he's talking about our work. He's talking about the things we do day to day and the work that we're doing in our lives. And he's going to tell us to work with intention and purpose in those things. Verse 4 says this: whoever watches the wind will not plant, and whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. The first part there, whoever watches the wind will not plant. Your version may say, whoever watches the wind will not sow. Now, think about this for a minute. What does watching the wind mean for us? Watching life go by. Life is passing by while we're just staring at the wind, and we're not sowing, we're not working, we're not cultivating anything in our lives. We're not digging deep in any sort of work or purpose. We're just kind of letting life go by. And our world is pretty set up to easily fall into that. You know, there's a lot of really good purposes in our technological advances and the way we can connect outside of just meeting like this, social media, TV, those sort of things. Those are all good things, but it's real easy to get caught just looking at the wind. I think Andrea put it on Sunday night. It's easy to just be looking at what other people got going on in their lives while life just passes by you. This is an easy thing to do. And if we get caught in that sort of temptation, we're never going to find any purpose because we're not getting busy doing anything. We're just kind of letting life pass us by, scrolling. And don't get it twisted. These things are designed to keep you there. You ever think about a news feed on your Facebook? Where does it end? You just keep going. You just keep scrolling. I'm guilty of this too. You just keep going. There's no end. You think it's maybe designed that way to keep you on there? Same thing with TV, Netflix, all these sort of things. Again, not bad things, but it's easy to let life pass you by with all these kind of luxuries and things that we have in our lives. And really, if you end up doing a, and I've been there, doing a Netflix binge or whatever it may be, how do you feel afterwards? I didn't accomplish anything here. You know, there's times where we need rest, certainly, and there's times where we need to take a break, but be mindful not to let life start to pass you by while you get caught staring at the wind. You know, to Andrea's point of just kind of looking at what everyone else has going on in life, that's an easy way to get busy letting life pass you by too. We get so busy looking out that we forget to look up. You know, we get so busy looking out at what everybody else is doing, staying busy, comparing, doing those sort of things. And where does that ever get us? Feeling more empty, feeling more less than, feeling more meaningless, purposeless in our lives. And again, we're set up to be comparing out all the time. Look how good that profile picture looks. Wish I had that car. We're so busy looking out, we don't look up. You're not going to find any purpose just looking out all the time. We get caught doing those things and life is passing us by. And we're not sowing into any kind of work for God, for purpose, for the kingdom, for our lives. None of those things. You know, likewise, the second part of this verse says, whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. I'm guilty of this one too. You ever just get your head in the clouds, thinking about what the end result of something's going to be, always talking about that? I mean, as soon as I get this business going, I got some friends here. We're going to get this thing going. This is what it's going to look like. We're going to do this thing. It's going to be great. And you never look at it. You never do anything because you're just busy staying in the clouds all the time. You never end up reaping because your mind's always up here on the clouds. You're too busy thinking about what's going to happen and what's going to be. And you're paralyzed. It leaves you paralyzed. You don't end up doing anything. You never end up getting any kind of reap or reward or purpose in this thing because you're so busy up here. Or you're so busy letting life pass you by, one or the other. Not getting any sort of purpose-filled life. It's just as easy to do that. But Solomon gives us a way to not get caught in any of those things. Verse 6 says this: sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle. For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Solomon's saying work with purpose. Work with intention. Don't get caught up letting life pass you by, and don't get caught up in the clouds thinking of what's really going to happen. Both those things leave you paralyzed. You end up not making any steps forward. You end up not walking with any sort of purpose. He's saying get busy. Get busy doing life. Get busy finding a purpose. Get busy sowing. Get busy in the thing that God's blessed you with. Start working in that. Start cultivating that. How much more fulfilling is a day when we can look back and see the things we've done from the morning to the evening? You know, I remember as a kid, almost every weekend, my pop would put me out there working all morning, all afternoon, and I did not like it. We would stack wood, we would cut trees down, we would get the yard together, we would fix bushes, we would spread rock, spread gravel. I'm pretty sure I'm owed a large check. Okay, all the work that I've done. But, you know, looking back at that, you know, of course you don't like it as a kid. I didn't like it as a kid. If you did, you're probably weird. Couldn't stand it. Every weekend I tried to get out of it and figure out wherever my mom was going and find out a really good reason why I had to go with her. I got to go with mom because I got to do it. Okay, all right, see ya. No, he'd catch me. He'd catch me before she woke up. Flip my light on. This is what we're doing today. But you know what? Looking back on that, this is how I like to live my life now. The thing I didn't like as a kid now, I mean, I still don't like spreading rocks. So don't ask me after this sermon if you've got if you got gravel, you got to spread. But I found purpose now. I find purpose in that style of living. That's what he was teaching me. It's the same thing Solomon's saying. Wake up in the morning and sow your seed. At the evening, don't let your hands be idle. Get busy working. Get busy doing what God's calling you to do. And it's not that hard to figure out. Walk in his commandments. Love people. Love your neighbor. You know? And that's where I found purpose. That's the style of living I find purpose. And now I go about my day and I write everything down and I can go from the morning to the evening and go, this is all the things I've accomplished in the kingdom today. I feel purpose-filled today because of those things. Whereas I used to spend my life letting life pass by, scrolling. At the end of the day, I feel empty. I feel empty. Or I get my head caught up in what's going to be and what's going to happen and all these sort of things. I never make a step towards any of it. And I feel empty. But it's in those days where I'm sowing all day long, in the morning, through the evening, not letting my hands be idle, working, where I feel purpose. I found purpose in my work. That's what Solomon's saying. We need to find purpose in our work and we need to get busy doing it. Verse 8 says this: however many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all, but let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. And again, that word meaningless or vanity or temporary, it's a breath. Got a question. This verse is a little challenging. Rejoice in all your days, but know that a lot of them are going to be dark. Okay, how's that possible? How can I rejoice in every day and know that there's going to be a lot of dark ones? We're talking about this edification. And the only way that I've come up with is by cultivating a relationship with Christ. That's the only way I've come up with. I think that's what Solomon's getting at. The only way that we can do this, the only way that we can look back on days of darkness in our lives and be able to rejoice is with a relationship with Christ. That's it. You know, there comes a point in our walk where we look back at all the darkness, all the terrible days, and there's purpose in them. We can see purpose. You know, you can certainly do that in recovery. We talk about that all the time. You look back at all the mess that your life was, and you look at where God's brought you now in this spiritual process, in this healing. It's the same as our walk as a Christian. We were once living in sin. Now we're redeemed. We look back at that and we say, I know what God was doing there. I can see a little bit of it. He was disciplining me. He was shaping me. He was molding me. He was using that thing to produce something inside me so that I can give generously of it and find purpose in it. That's what it is. But we only know that sort of thing if we're cultivating a relationship with Christ. I don't know anyone that I've ever met that has had very dark, difficult days and seen them with joy without referring to Christ. I've never met anybody in my life that's gone, I went through all these dark days and all this terrible time, but you know, I found purpose in it without Christ. Cultivating our relationship with Jesus is the way that we see purpose in our darkness. It's the way we can rejoice because we know He's working. He's working in our lives through those things. In the following verse, verse 9, you who are young is who Solomon's going to address. And you know, I think it's helpful to think that Solomon's more than likely a much older man by now. So you who are young probably encapsulates most of us in this room, John. I only do it because you do it. So you who are young, he's addressing everyone here. And he says, let your heart give you joy in the day of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Your version may say, you who are young are youthful men. Rejoice while you are young. So he's going to call us to rejoice while we're young. Be mindful of the thing. Enjoy your life. Rejoice while you're young. While you're living, enjoy your life. But be mindful that God's going to bring all these things into judgment. Again, this only goes with a relationship with Christ. We can only enjoy things and be mindful of who he is and his judgment in our lives with a relationship with him. He's going to call us to rejoice here. The next thing he's going to call us to do is remove. And the following thing he's going to tell us is remember. So rejoice in the days while you're living. Enjoy yourself, knowing that God, be mindful, wise living, be mindful, find purpose in your days, but be mindful that God will bring all these things into judgment. In verse 10, he's going to tell us to remove vexation or anxiety from your heart, cast off troubles. I don't know about you, but the only way I've ever been able to remove any anxiety or vexation or stress from my heart is by cultivating a relationship with Christ. Everything else drives me more crazy. Everything. The only time I find any peace in my situation, I see some heads nodding in this. Yep, she's the one always stressing, right? The only way I can ever find any kind of peace or relief from stress or anxiety in my life is by cultivating my relationship with Christ. The more I know who he is and what he's done for me and what that means and who I am, the less stressed I am, the less worried I am. I'm on the winning team, as John always says. We all are. That's not to say we're not going to have trouble. We already established that. Raise your hand if you haven't had any trouble. I'll wait. Raise your hand if you haven't had any stress or anxiety or worry or vexation in your heart. We have. But we're able to have peace through our cultivating relationship with Christ. It's the only way. Everything else is vanity. Everything else is meaningless. Everything else is temporary. Nothing else will fully take your stress, your anxiety away. The only thing that will help to do that is cultivating a relationship with Jesus. He's going to call us in verse 1 of chapter 12 to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember God. Again, don't know how you can remember somebody you don't have a relationship with. This is a call to purpose. We find purpose in our lives by remembering who Christ is, by remembering him in our relationship, by knowing who he is, being mindful of Jesus in our lives. That's how we find purpose. We give generously. We're intentful, purposeful with our work. While doing all these things, we cultivate our relationship with Jesus. I want to go back to verse 5 here. Verse 5 says this: as you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. And I know that Harry's listening in on Zoom. I saw his name up there. When I was reviewing the study from last Sunday, this is the verse that stuck out most to him. And this is the verse that stuck out most to me, because it just points to how much further above God's ways are from ours. We have no idea. Nick pointed out this book, where this was written was some maybe 3,500 years ago. And Solomon is writing, we don't know how life comes in the womb. Well, it's been a few thousand years and we still don't know. We've come a long way, but we still haven't quite figured out how life comes to a mother's womb. And we won't ever figure it out because we're not the maker. We're not the creator. There's things in our life that are just above us. And I thank God for that, because my brain would explode if I knew, probably. But even just the things that we're talking about, this purpose-filled life, in a carnal thinking, it doesn't really make sense to give generously. That's why we tend not to do it. Because we think I can serve more purpose if I have the control of it. I find more purpose when I can lead in my work as I please, when I'm in control of these things, when I'm at the center of my giving, when I'm at the center of what I do, when I'm at the center, I'm the relationship. It's me. It's about me. That's in our carnal thinking where we tend to think purpose comes from. If you live that out, and most of us have for a certain period of time, you find out that leaves you empty. That leaves you feeling more vexation in your heart, more anxiety, more stress. Because you're in control of everything and nothing's ever going to go the way you want it to go. That's part of life. You're not going to find purpose in that. You find purpose in trusting who God is. He's the maker of all things. He's the one who created this order. He's the one who says, when you give generously of the things I've given you, you will be blessed. Do we know why that happens? Nope. Do we need to know? Nope. It's just the way it works. It's the way God set things up. What's our response? Our response is to trust, to be obedient, to remain faithful that this is how God works. If we want to have a purpose-filled life, it's going to look a whole lot opposite of how the world tells us to live. Giving generously isn't the way of the world. Sowing from morning and keeping your hands from being idle throughout the evening is not the way of the world. You know what the number one job that kids want to grow up and be now? Social media influencer. Do you know why that probably is? Because it looks easy. Because it looks like you can just make a video, be super happy, have all this purpose, have all these people follow you. You feel good. And it's empty. They think it's the easy way to get successful in life, to find purpose in life, where I can avoid sowing in the morning. I can avoid moving around that gravel and chopping that wood. And I can just get right to it and be an influencer and have a million people follow me and be famous and popular and rich and all those things. That's the way we tend to think. But God is above all of these things. And God says the way to find purpose is by giving generously and by sowing in your work. That's how you find purpose. Solomon's lived a long life. He He's had everything at his disposal, and he's tried all these ways. And he said, all of that is meaningless. The only thing that has purpose is understanding these things, define purpose, and cultivating a relationship with God, because that's the only way that makes sense. And the perfect example of giving generously and sowing in your work with purpose is Jesus Christ. He gave perfectly. He gave generously and perfectly. He gave his teaching. He gave his word. He gave his life. He was sowing in his work with purpose, with the purpose of the Father, in perfect relationship, cultivating a relationship with God. He was one with the Father. He's the perfect example of a purpose-filled life. A life of generous giving, purpose-driven action, and perfect relationship cultivated with the Father. And as we walk and we try to fulfill purpose in our lives as we leave this place, allow us to look to Jesus for the example. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, his perfect example of generous giving, using all the things that he was blessed with to bless others, and ultimately his life, Lord. Jesus gave perfectly in his life, through his death, in his resurrection, for all of us, for each one of us in this room, that we may have redemption, that we may have salvation, that we may have atonement of our sin through him, that we may have eternal life. And Lord, that we can be empowered through the Holy Spirit to live with purpose this day as we leave this place. Lord, may each one of my brothers and sisters here be a generous giver, Lord. Lord, you blessed us with many spiritual gifts, talents, time, financial gifts, whatever it may be, Lord. You've given us stewardship over these things. Lord, allow us to cultivate a relationship with you that leads to faithful and generous giving. Also, that we would find purpose getting busy in our work that you've put in front of us, Lord. As we cultivate our relationship with you, as we sow into our work, as we give generously, Lord, I pray that we would reap the blessing that you promised, Lord, that we would have joy-filled lives, regardless of the many days of trial and tribulation, Lord, that we can see a purpose in what you're doing always, Lord, and that we can have a joy-filled, purpose-filled life because of who your Son is. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, please?